all the places I ended up at, I never would have thought, right? Like I was emailing and calling all of these places, and the places I actually ended up at, never on my radar. Never thought I'd go to any of the places I went. But if you have C's and B's, you can only limit, you eliminate those A schools, and those A schools are opportunities. So once those are out the door, you're now competing, you're dropped down into a pool with less nets. Go to every class and sit in the front. It changes nothing about the amount of effort. They didn't say anything, like, you're obviously gonna put the work in, right? But if you sit in the front and you go to every class, even if you're at a C plus, you're probably gonna get a B minus. Like, no one's gonna hand you a Division I scholarship. No one, you're not gonna not face adversity getting to college, right? So, like, the earlier you can put yourself, like, people don't appreciate some of the adversity. Maybe they're quick to say, like, oh, I got screwed out of that camp, or that coach took someone else with a better agent, or something like that, right? But at the end of the day, but it's calluses.
I'm really excited today to welcome Pat Shanna to the podcast. Pat, we're really excited about having you here because placement and advising is such a hot topic in goalies world. And before we start, could you tell us a little bit about your background as a player, because you're so uniquely qualified to do the job that you do?
Yeah. Uniquely qualified is one way to put it. I think what a lot of guys my age would probably relate to is just the way that we all had to reach out on our own, how we did a lot of stuff on our own, and that kind of, we found the opportunities that way. So in doing so, I landed, I started out at Andover High School. I guess I'll just go through the whole journey. I started out at Andover High School, moved on to Central Catholic after that for 2 years, my junior and senior year of high school. PG'd at Phillips Exeter, playing three sports definitely helped with that. and then from there, I was one of the lucky ones that got to go into NESCAC hockey school right away. Wasn't too happy with the school.
Merce, you know, notice how careful Pat was choosing his words there?
Very careful.
Yes, he was trying to make sure he didn't say anything. Okay, go ahead.
So yeah, and then I ended up in the NCDC, which was I pulled the Scott Darling method and emailed every junior team in North America asking if they needed a goalie. And the New Jersey Rockets called. They needed me. I went down for the last month of the year, and it was great. And that really opened my eyes to how junior hockey worked, because up until that point, I was a New England kid that just went the typical prep school. Well, typical for here, the route is prep school to NESCAC for some guys. And I was lucky enough to do that. I never had to do the junior thing. So now I'm back into it as a 19-year-old. And I navigate my way, but ultimately decided to go back to school. So I went to Stevenson University, where I had to sit out. Left with incomplete credits. So I played on their ACHA team. So now I've hit prep NCAA Division III and the ACHA. I get back to the NCAA Division III at the University of New England, and that was a great experience. Had a very high level team, and then Boston University came along and said, "Do you want to help us?" And then I kind of took that opportunity by the horns. I like to think that, that opening up and me going out in the skates and just owning the role probably opened the door for me to come back a second year with an opportunity with a goalie leaving. So, yeah, right there, we've hit public school, private school, prep school, ACHA, Division III, and Division I. So I've covered most of the bases.
See, Merce, I wasn't kidding you. Pat is uniquely qualified to be an advisor.
He definitely has a look at every single level of play that there is, right? So me and Pat are about the same age, and we're both fortunate enough to be Stop It kids. So we had a little bit of a mentorship along the way to know that you have to reach out yourself. You have to market yourself. So in having Pat now on our staff as the advisor, he could kind of help out with that. You want to jump into that a little bit, Pat? Just kind of like what you do, kind of what the process is. What makes you different as an advisor from other advisors?
I'd like to think is the relationship that I try to build with the guys. And in that, we're talking through the process of how I got to all these spots, all the steps that I took. And then, you know, with me backing you, then you have the tools to go out and help yourself, and then you can help me help you. Obviously, with that relationship comes a lot of communication. So I would say that that's what makes the program work. If there's no communication between the goalie and the advisor and the coach and the parents, then things can kind of go sideways, right? Everybody's got to be on the same page. And that's been critical. And some of my best clients to work with are the ones that I'm closest with. It's really the way it works. To really figure out, you got to get to know someone to figure out exactly where they belong, right? So I, like you said, I've seen goalies all over the place at all different levels. And I just need to gather all of the information that I can to be able to say, okay, this is comparable. And we'll get into the comps in a second. But like just with the eye test, right? I mean, most guys just go with the eye test. And it's usually if you've done this for a while and you've seen a lot of hockey, like your eye test judgment is usually like within 75% confidence of what it actually is. But then you also have you want to take the subjectivity out of it. So when I say comps, there's two comps, right? An experience comp and a statistical comp. And the statistical comps is really where we hammer home like where guys fit best, right? So Adam, Merce, what do you have in junior hockey, your save percentage, your age out year?
You know, that's a great question, to be honest with you. I probably sitting around a 9-10, 9-20.
Yeah, so.
Wait, whoa. A 9-10, 9-20. That's like,
you are, you know,
let's meet between Boston and New York.
Like, hold on, give me a second. All right. Give me a second. I'll look it up really quick for you guys, and I'll let you know. And then Pat can give me my comps. So my last year junior, 922.
That's pretty good.
It's a really good year. Yeah.
And that got you to Norwich.
It sure did. Yeah, I was fortunate enough to at least start talking to a couple of Division I schools, but just didn't work out.
What was the goals against average?
Goals against average, we had a 2.54.
2.54. So a 2.54 and a 9.22 get to Norwich without even having the placement generator, and you can explain what the placement generator is, Pat. Does that sound NCDC, those numbers, Norwich? That's like, to me, that's right on the money.
Right on, right? And you said you talked to some Division I schools, right? Like, you're right in that ballpark. and yeah, so it's that kind of – so I know you, like, I know that's what you like. I knew you, I didn't know what your numbers were, but I knew the kind of goalie that you were, and you went to Norwich, a high end Division III program, and like, awesome. Right. So now once we take your numbers and put it in, and I can take those numbers and compare them to the goalies that I've seen in the NCDC this year with the 922, right? Like, they're like, it's trends, right? So I could take another goalie that I had with a 922 and go to Cam Ellsworth at Norwich and say, hey, I've got a Merce comp, or like a guy like Merce who can come in and do the job. Right. So that's a lot of it's where we start. Okay. So like, if you were a junior goalie that reached out to me, we would run your comps right away, and just sit together and talk about where you are and then what it takes to get to another level. So we could also look at your numbers and your numbers compared to goalies in the same league that played Division I the following year and what their numbers were. So maybe it's, hey, like, if you think you're a Division I goalie, like, these are where Division I goalies are at, right? So and then we could take a look at the development side too, right? The development piece has been a way bigger part of this than I thought it would be. Right. But when they're your guy and they want to get to a certain level, you can't not be involved at least somewhat with their development, because, or at least making sure they're getting the proper resources, to get to where they want to get to, right? So that's a big part of it too. Your oversight, that's where the communication's huge, because I need to know, I'm not micromanaging, but I need to know what all the guys are doing, right?
This is a cool thing about your position and about the way you've tackled it. So, I mean, I don't think even your clients understand that building a placement generator, taking the last 10 years of every goalie to play college, prep, junior, BCHL, North American League, U18, U16, all of these numbers are in that placement generator, and all you do is put in the numbers of your current client, and it actually spits out to you all the comps. I think it's remarkable, and it took what, 3 to 4 months to build that?
Yeah, it's been a game changer for sure. Just having the ability, especially if you're 50-50 on a situation, like, dad, could he make it? Like, does he have a chance to make an all team? Like, then you go to that, right? And you're just like, oh yeah, either yeah, he's good, or maybe still borderline, or nah, maybe you should look at some other camps, right? So it's been integral to the operation we've been running here.
Yeah. I think that's the coolest part. And then you can also use that to project, right? So I think it's cool to think about if a young Adam Mercer had come to you and said, I've got a 922 in the NCDC, and I've got, I forget the goals against average, but you could then run the placement generator and say, hey, Merce, here's the deal. If you go to the NOL next year, these are the numbers in the profile that you're going to have to produce to get better than a Norwich.
Yeah.
That's what I think is one of the coolest things about it.
Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense too. Like when I was going through it, there was so much uncertainty as to like where I should land. And like, obviously everyone wants to chase that D1 dream, right? And then you get to the end of junior and you age out and you're like, well, I got nothing now. So in terms of Division 1, right? So yeah. Ultimately, like Pat's able to keep you realistic with it, with these numbers, which is really, really interesting, really like awesome for his clients now, because now they really know where they land and they know where they have to be in order to land somewhere else.
Cause it's right. it's an objective way to look at it, right? It's like you have subjectivity. So I'll give you subjectivity. Let's talk about Pat Shanna, the goalie, and I'm calling you Merce and you're the coach. Well, I've got this goalie, Pat Shanna, really good athlete, fills up the net well, walks the neighbor's dog every night. He's the nicest kid. Like, who cares?
Where does he play?
Or I say, hey, Merce, I got Pat Shanna. Here are 5 guys in your league that comp out the same as Pat Shanna. This is what you should expect.
I'm going to say the second answer is probably going to help me a little bit more.
Yeah. Probably give a little perspective.
Definitely.
Yeah. So like to even build on this, right? Like that, like once you lay the foundation of the numbers, right, there's still like an advice perspective too. Like I just based on how I've seen things, I'm going to tell you, like, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I'm going to lay out how each situation is going to look, right? So you're 922. I'm going to say, Merce, hey, we can push for this D1 thing, but your role in Division 1 might be a little bit different than Division 3. And I've gone through this with some guys already where it's like, hey, do you want to go to a D3 school and play 30 games a year for 4 years, 5 years, whatever it's going to be? Or do you want to go to, you know, a hockey school and play maybe 5 games the entire time you're there? Right. So it just depends. Like some guys are different. Like some guys like want to play the game and then other guys just love the game and they just want to be a part of a program like that. Usually I've been seeing guys want to play games, but you do have guys that are like, yeah, you know what? Like, I just want to be at a Division 1 program and like, I want to be a part of a culture like that. And like, that's great too. And even to go further into this from an ACHA and Division 3 perspective, like, I think it's more there than it is Division 3, Division 1, because like, how, Merce, what was the coldest rink you played in? Probably New England College or one of those? Like
either New England College or Suffolk.
Yeah, right. So do you want to be going to Suffolk in a tracksuit freezing, right? Just to be on a Division III roster? Or do you want to go to, you know, if you're a good student, do you want to go to the University of Michigan and play on their ACHA team, get a hell of an education and play? It's good hockey. Like I would know, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it just depends on what you're looking for, really. Like, do you want to have that structured environment playing in college, or do you want to have a life and play really good hockey and focus on your academics a little bit more and what college is, the American college picture, right? So it really just depends on, so your numbers are going to be where they're at, right? Once we've established the numbers and that, like just going back to the relationship thing, like you need to know what your guy wants to be able to help them like the best you can. And they need to know what's out there. Like sometimes a lot of guys have no idea what any of this looks like. Like how many Division III games did you go to before you went in?
Zero.
I didn't go to many.
Yeah. And I honestly, I didn't know half the Division III schools that were out there.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You have no idea. Right. So I think a huge piece, and it relies on the goalie too. Right. So we kind of opened up by talking about how, like, you know, we did this stuff ourselves. So like, once you have someone like me, and then you do your own due diligence on top of it and you understand what's out there, then you can come to me and say, hey, Pat, like, what do you know about this school? What do you know about that school? Like, tell me more like about this program. And just, I think being curious as a goalie yourself at a young age, the younger you can start to get curious about things, I think the more you'll learn and more prepared you'll probably be for when you get to the prep school process, the junior process, the college process.
It's amazing you use the word curious, because I just listened to a podcast and it was about parenting, and what they were saying is the number one thing that you could instill in your son or your daughter is curiosity. That's going to help them tremendously in life. I've got a tough question for you here, Pat. We're not going to give you the easy lobball questions here. Okay, okay. Here's the hard question. Is it easier or harder to place a goalie in junior or college?
College. I think it's definitely harder to place in college because there's not as many. This is another thing that people don't understand. Like, there's only what, 60 Division I teams? You multiply that by three, that's 180 goalies. And that's a range of 4 years. So then you look at Division III, it's probably about the same number, right? And so you're looking at, to play NCAA college hockey, you have to be in the top 300 goalies, like, in the world that want to go do it, right? So like, that's another thing too. Like, sometimes there's just not enough seats at the table, and you have that less in junior hockey because there's so many teams. Like, you'll find somewhere, right? Can't guarantee how luxurious it'll be, but you'll get something. College is like you call them and it's like, well, I'm looking at a guy from this league, a guy from this league, and a guy from this league. And it's like, oh man, like, there's so many options. That's the trouble with juniors, right? There's so many teams and there's so many goalies and everybody's good, right? that top 20 and the top 20 goalies, you know, in North America, like going and across the leagues, right? If you take the top five goalies in every league, they could all play in college, right? But the amount of leagues that are out there, the top five, like, that's beyond the amount of goalies that are actually going to college next year. And there's a lot more than just five goalies in every league. Right. So definitely college.
Definitely. And so going on that college vein, I know from my experience that the academic piece is so heavy, right? True. I closed so many doors for myself because I did not care about school in high school. Okay, Zach can attest to this. We had a conversation one summer at Merrimack at a lunch table about how I was doing terrible in school and like, you're closing doors for yourself, bud. So talk about that a little bit, right?
Yeah, I was, when I was a kid, my parents would always say, don't get a C. And I think now, like looking back on it, I would have changed my perspective to do your best to get an A. And if you get a B, that's okay, right? Like just kind of switching that mentality around, because the grades are so important. Like you can't believe like what getting a C will do, right? And Dak and I talk about this all the time about like the amount of nets you have, right? So you have your A, B, and C, right? So your A schools, you know, if you get straight A's, you get access to the A schools, the B schools, and the C schools. But if you have C's and B's, you can only limit, you eliminate those A schools, and those A schools are opportunities. So once those are out the door, you're now competing, you're dropped down into a pool with less nets, right? It kind of goes back to the last conversation we were having, right? And if you think about when I was at Wesleyan, one of the things they said were, go to every class and sit in the front. It makes no, it changes nothing about the amount of effort. They didn't say anything like, you're obviously going to put the work in, right? But if you sit in the front and you go to every class, even if you're at a C plus, you're probably going to get a B minus, right? And like, that's the difference. That could open up a net for you, right? And it's effortless. And you know, like, unless you're on your deathbed, like you should go to class, right? And like that, it's just, if you do things the right way and you're a, someone that the teacher wants to help, it's not that hard, right? If you do your work, like it's not that hard, and it's so important. You know, I wasn't even the smartest kid, and the fact that I got into Wesleyan is insane. And BU.
It's crazy. I think it's so funny when you think, okay, what is goaltending development? On ice, off ice, reading the play, reading the like all that stuff. And at the end of the day, so much of it relies on net acquisition, the ability to acquire a net. And I was actually today, I was speaking with a prep school coach, and he had this really interesting analogy for me. He goes, Dak, I played the same starting goalie every game this season. And I've been doing this for years, and I always get grief from the backup goalies. Why aren't I playing? Why don't I get a chance? Parents, why doesn't he get games? So on and so forth. He goes, and my answer is always the same. I'm not taking my number one defenseman and sitting him out an entire game. I'm not sitting out my number one defenseman. So why would I do it for my number one goalie? I want my number one goalie to play every game, just like I want my number one defenseman to play every game. Okay. And once again, you get into net acquisition, situations, finding the right situation. Because if you get in the wrong situation and get behind the wrong guy, it career is over. It's all over.
Right. Yeah. And that's why I say too, like not every, I make a lot of kids unhappy when I say this, but sometimes you're just better off starting out at a lower league and playing every game and proving yourself. And like we say all the time, taking the stairs, right? Like, are you like playing games played is probably the 1A, 1B most important stat to save percentage, right? Like some days they go like one or the other for the most important, depending on the situation. And, but like, it's not even like a matter of like promotion. It's for your own development, right? Like hockey is reads. It's everybody's athletic. Everybody that I went to UNE, BU, every college I played at, everyone, there were freak athletes on every team. But the difference was, how can you process, what experiences have you been in and learned from and see again? And you're consistently on top of things and you only make a mistake once, right? So like that kind of separates you. So yeah, it's pretty important, I would say.
Definitely. So I'll pump your tires a little bit. I have a little testimonial for you. I did work with the Junior Railers this year. Pat did send me a goalie and he played really well for us. He ended up moving on to the next level, but he played really well for us. Pat did a great job knowing where this kid would land, and the guy flourished for us, honestly.
Well, he's a great example of a guy who bought into going to a lower league and playing games, and he did really well, right? Like he took it as a challenge to prove that, you know, he could play at a higher level. And I think it was a really good, and it's all experience, right? Like no one's going to hand you a Division I scholarship. No one, you're not going to not face adversity getting to college, right? So like the earlier you can put yourself, like people don't appreciate some of the adversity. Maybe they're quick to say like, oh, I got screwed out of that camp, or that coach took someone else with a better agent or something like that, right? But at the end of the day, like it's just not to go back to the phrases we use, but it's calluses. Like it's take your experience for what it's worth and learn from it and move on. And when you're anywhere in a net where a puck's being shot at you, stop it. It doesn't matter where you are. Your job doesn't change regardless of you're in high school, junior, or college. Like the role is still the same.
Definitely.
So I want to talk a little bit about the finances here. Okay. Junior hockey is expensive. College is expensive. So on and so forth. So if I play devil's advocate, I'd say I'm a parent, I'm a goalie parent. Why do I have to pay for an advisor? Shouldn't I just do it myself and save the money? And for parents that don't know, right, or goalies that don't know, what's an advisor cost? Like, what's an average cost of an advisor? What's the going rate? How do you find an advisor? And do I really need to spend money?
Yeah, that's a great question. To start out, you definitely, how should I phrase this? Like, I'm very helpful because I can call a coach and ask about a situation and they tend to get back to me. It's a little bit easier, and parents have said this to me too, that it's definitely easier for me to get information than a parent would be. And I think a lot of advisors would probably tell you the same thing. Just because when we get on the phone, we speak the same language, right? Like based on our experiences and what we know about the goalies, like we're pretty easy to talk to, I would say. So just from in terms of just gathering information, like, you know, with different situations, I think it's pretty valuable. We're charging $180 a month. That's going with the monthly payment instead of the annual. And that's been great.
Why do you have a monthly as opposed to an annual like other advisors?
So Maersk can call me up and say, hey Pat, you haven't done anything for me in a month, I'm out. Right. It's definitely, and I think it's a little bit less like stressful to pay a lump sum of money up front. Then, like, you know, a $180 a month sounds a lot better than $2,700, right, or whatever it is.
Well, what would be your understanding? What would be the market rate for, let's say, an advisor for a year?
I've seen them. It'll range for sure, but anywhere between two's on the low end, but 3 to 6. I would probably say $1,000 a year. And I would probably say like you can't expect them to, well, some of them, I obviously have protocols in place to keep the lines of communication open. So I make myself very available, but like you definitely want to get your money's worth, right? You definitely need to check in. And sometimes, like it happens with me, I'm so thankful sometimes when I get a text from a goalie that says, hey, do you have an update on this? And I'm like, yeah, like I needed that, right? Like, because then it, you know, depending on the priority, right, you're not going to go more than a week without hearing from me, especially if you reach out. But like then I have a list of tasks, right? And you can prioritize ones that, you know, need to get done. So I think it's great to have like the both ways communication. You know, but like in terms of value, like if you can get answers or have an better understanding of your path, then I think it was worth it. Like if you were to ask me if I would have paid $180 a month for somebody who played at every level of hockey to tell me what it's like at all those levels, I would have been like, where do I sign? I don't know. That's just me. But it's definitely a very, very, very helpful resource. And I know that sometimes that they get a bad rap, but like for me, like if I can make it to where I got to, like that's why I want to try to give back to these guys or help the next round of goalies that are looking for something, that are trying to do this, you know?
Definitely. And you're constantly proving yourself with the subscription model, right? So
exactly.
Like you said, right? Like if I'm not happy with what you did 1 month, I'm going to say, all right, Pat, see you later. I'm going to go to someone else.
Yeah.
But with the subscription model, that holds you accountable too.
Absolutely. And there's that. And then also too, like if you're placed, right? Like let's say you want to go to prep school and it's September, right? I will work for you the entire way. And then once you're placed and you feel that you don't need to be advised anymore, it was only 7 months. It wasn't 12, right? So it gives you the ability to not pay for something you don't need, right? So I think that's a good piece of it too. It definitely holds me accountable, but it also gives the flexibility to be like, okay, like why am I don't need to spend this extra $400 because the job.
This is a fascinating part about this, Pat, is that conceptually that makes all the sense in the world, right? Mm-hmm. But your goalies keep going with you. And I don't know if it's the once a week virtual meetings that you put on where the kids can hop on and talk. I don't know. You know, like it's fascinating that even after you make the placement, the kids still want to keep that relationship and want to keep that contact.
Yeah. And that was like when we started, I didn't know how that was going to go. I was seriously under the impression that they're like, all right, yep, thanks. Thanks for all your help. But there are definitely guys like I just did one with a great prep kid going to college next year. And we sat down and we did video on the teams that he was going to be playing against in college next year. So like this is where the development piece comes in too, right? Like you can lean on me as a resource for development because like I'll sit down and watch video with you at the Division III level and I'll walk you through everything that's going to happen because I've seen it. And we'll watch the video together and we'll map out, okay, what do I need to, based on watching this, what do I need to work on this summer, right? Like there is more that I can provide than just placement, I feel like. You know, like I really enjoy sitting down and breaking down games with goalies because that's a big part of it too, right? Like if my goalie couldn't make a steer, we would, even if he was halfway across the country, I'd be like, hey man, like you need to steer this puck into the netting and we'll sit down and we'll go over it because that's my guy. Like I want to have like guys that just are, you know, if you want to play Division III, you got to steer puck. Right. So the more I see stuff like that and doing video with guys and like there's way more value than just the placement. If you want to choose to lean on me, you can squeeze me pretty good.
Definitely. Definitely. So there's kids that don't, last question, I swear. There's kids that probably aren't ready for a full blown advisor, but there is one other feature that you do have in your realm that they can lean on you for. What is that?
Yeah, it's we do the one-off calls, right? So the one-off calls are great because for $150, I will sit with you for an hour. And it's best if you come prepared with a list of questions. And we'll sit down for an hour and just map out. We'll do the whole shebang, right? We'll run the comps. We'll teach you how to make a website. I'll give you, you know, the best advice I possibly can once we lay out exactly what we want to do, what the situation is. And you take that and run with it. So if you're a kid like me, that $150 call goes a very long way, because I was going to do all that stuff myself anyway, right? So after, for only spending $150, you now I have a plan, and then I can go act on that plan and you're good. And I see that usually with the really young guys, right? Guys going into high school, or maybe you're a sophomore looking to transfer to prep school, that kind of thing, where it's like, maybe you're not ready for me yet, but I can explain to you how this is going to look in a year or two. Right. So, and you're always free to come back to it, you know, like you can always follow up with me in 6 months, we could do it again. And I'm happy to do that, because, you know, like I said, even though it's not someone that I'm directly representing, because sometimes at the age groups, we just get maxed out, but I can still keep that relationship with you going, which is like what I want, especially if they're like coming in house here and training with us, right? It's nice to be able to work with somebody on the ice and then also know where they're at and what they're trying to get to. That'll change how you work with them on the ice. If a kid comes to me as a freshman and says, Pat, I want to be a Division I goalie. And I'm just like, okay, well, we need to start. Now when I'm on the ice with you, I'm going to push you like a Division I goalie, right? So like that all, it all kind of helps. And we take steps along the way too, right? Maybe that was a dramatic example, but.
I've got one last question from my end. What's the number one mistake that goalies and parents make when it comes to placement?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is going in somewhere too early when you're not ready. That's definitely a big one, because it's definitely easier to go in somewhere, like play a ton of games, and then go in somewhere and play even more games, than go in somewhere sitting and then hoping that you don't get over-recruited. But does that answer you? Was that kind of the answer, like the realm of the answer that you were?
I think that's a pretty good answer. I think that's the cool thing about your placement generator, is that it creates the realism and the objectivity, as opposed to, I'm playing at this level, but I want to play in the USHL next year. I like that. I like the steps and that. I know I've always used the go where you wanted.
Yeah.
Mantra. And I've always felt like when a goalie goes where they want to go, when they try to, squeeze a square peg in a round hole because that's what they want, that's usually where it goes wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Like if you pushed, let's use a powerhouse for an example. Let's use Boston College, right? Oh my, I want to go to Boston College. That's the only school I've ever wanted to go to. And I'm at this kind of level and I just want to get there. Right. Like you can go there, but you may never play. Right. So that's kind of like the squeeze in the round. Like what I think about, it's actually more applicable to the prep schools, because the prep schools are actually like, they're easier to get into than Boston College, right? To play hockey at. So if you go to if you're a kid with high academic, good grades, you get in somewhere and it's your dream school, that's the only place you ever wanted to go, but you're not playing games. And it's like, well, do you want to be there or do you want to play in college? If you want to be there, that's awesome. I love it. Stay. But if you want to play in college, like maybe we don't look there. Maybe you're a freshman and they have a junior starter, and you're not going to see a lot of action until they bring another junior in. Maybe don't go there. just stay where you're at and then go. That's another thing too. The diploma that you get is the same, regardless of if you go as a freshman or as a junior or whatever. Like PGs are kind of dated now, but like I got the same diploma as everybody else from Exeter and I was only there for a year. Right. So there's a lot of reasons why I say like, don't jump in too fast somewhere. Like, especially well, if
it's funny ready. To use that analogy though, because I took Joey for his visit at BC and he would have cut off his right arm to go to BC. I mean, that's the dream. That's where he wanted to go. And thank goodness they didn't want him at the end of the day. Thank goodness they didn't offer, because we probably would have taken whatever they offered because it was BC and go to BC. But he ends up going to ASU, a new program where he gets a chance to compete and play and then take the stairs and earn his way up. And if they would have brought him in for a half or a quarter scholarship, whatever it would have been, he probably wouldn't be where he is today.
Right. Yeah. And that's the same thing as the goalie who went to the Railers. It's the same thing as the next guy who's going to start out at, you know, not their first choice. That's another thing too. All of the places I ended up at, I never would have thought, right? Like I was emailing and calling all of these places, and the places I actually ended up at, never on my radar. Never thought I'd go to any of the places I went to, right? Okay. Like you probably, like you, how many emails did you send out or coaches you talked to? Like, oh, I think I'm going to get into this place. Like, I think they want me. And then, you know, something changes and then boom, something else pops up. It's like, whoa, all right. Now there's this.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I definitely
never where you always end up where you belong, but it's never where you expect to be.
100%. When Norwich called, I had no idea who they were. So, but yeah, no, Pat, this has been awesome. If people want to find you, where can they find you?
Pat@stopatgoaltending.com. We should be firing up some stuff on the Stop It website shortly with a little bit more information, but. The best way to get involved is shoot me an email, introduce yourself, and we'll set up a meeting. Like I said, Pat@stopatgoaltending.com.
If you just go in the app, can you find you in the app?
Oh, well? Yeah. So, in the app, right? It's under welcome and services. Scroll down to mentorship and advising. You just click on that, scroll down, and all the options are right there for the one-off call or for the actual program. So it's all on the app.
Thanks so much, Pat. We appreciate it. Would have liked for you to go Powerhouse BU instead of Powerhouse BC, but I'll try not to take that too personally. But hey, thank you, and thank you for all the great work you do with the kids.
Thanks, Dak. Thanks. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Maurice, I'm so glad we had Pat on, because it's amazing how many calls I get regarding advising.
100%. And like, even when I'm trading guys in Middleton, they're asking me questions and sometimes I don't even know the answers. Pat's really in that wheelhouse. So I send them to him and, you know, they really come back with some good feedback about him. And like I said, about that goalie that came to the Railers, he does a good job, like knowing where kids are supposed to land. And the kid played really well for us.
So the issue I find with a lot of goalie parents and goalies is they just don't know. And when I talked to Pat about doing this and we mapped out a plan, I said, here's the only way we're going to do this is if you're knee deep in this thing every day.
100%.
Because, you know, you don't want to be the guy selling real estate all week, right? And then call themselves an advisor.
Yeah.
And then try to place kids on your spare time.
Yeah, 100%. And like, Pat has the eye test as well. Obviously, he played at every level. Yeah. He's on the ice with the goalies every day. He's knee deep in the goalie world. And he's got relationships with coaches. He got a relationship with goalies. He really has dove in headfirst into this thing. And he's done a great job so far. So really happy for him. And, you know, he'll just keep growing, you know.
And nothing was easy for Pat. Like, he had to scratch and claw for everything he had. And I thought he was so qualified to do this because he was that kid that would do the extra, right? And, you know, one of the facets of the program is Pat helps you build your own website. So each one of the goalies that he represents has their own website. And it's fascinating to see the kids that dive into that website and keep it up to date and keep adding videos and pictures and references and all that kind of stuff. And the kids that go halfway, like it just tells you a little bit about the personality and their character and if they're willing to commit to the hard work that it takes, because we have a supply and demand issue. There's way too much supply of goalies.
Yes.
Without the demand. And if you're not willing to get on your horse and work for it, then just don't expect it to be handed to you.
100%. And yeah, I've known Pat since I was probably 12, right? So I've definitely seen him go through those trials and tribulations. Like you said, he's more than qualified to be doing the job. And like you said about the website, when I was building a website way back when, it was pretty basic, right?
Yep.
I was half asking it, right? It was like, well, I don't know if this is gonna work, right? But now that I'm seeing the websites that Pat's clients are putting together, they're awesome. And if he sends me a goalie and I click on his link, I have everything I need right there. I don't have to go to EP. I don't have to go searching through YouTube for videos. I don't have to go to Instead. I don't have to do any of that work. It makes my life so much easier. And that's the great thing about Pat, is he walks you through that.
So Marissa, I've been doing the Bridge program for like 6 years now. So I've got 6 years worth of alums. And I never know when I'm going to get the call. We could end this podcast and a minute later I get a call. Dak, I need a goalie. And there's nothing that goes right through me other than saying, hey, what do you need? Oh yeah, I got the perfect guy for you or the perfect girl for you. And I go to their webpage and it hasn't been updated. It like the video is 2 years old or the picture's too, like, come on, just help me help you. All you have, this is your brand. This is who you are. Keep up with your website.
And hockey moves way too fast.
Yeah.
You know, hockey world, the goalie world, especially, way too fast. There's too, like you said, too many goalies, not enough spots.
Yes.
If they can't get access to that video, if they can't know what this kid's all about, well, I'm just going to move on to the next guy.
Right? Yes.
So keeping that webpage updated, really making sure that you're presenting yourself as your brand in the best way possible is super important. I think that's super important for kids to take away from this podcast. And if you are interested in making one of those goalie websites, we do have a goalie extra on it under full videos on the app.
Yes. Yeah. So that teaches you how to do it. And I know in my book, How to Be a Goalie Parent, there's a big explanation how to be a goalie. There's an explanation of how to self-promote, how to do it the right way. I hear that a lot from, you know, parents. Oh, you know, that kid, you know, his parents knew how to promote him or so on and so forth. I'm like, well, it's not rocket science. You send out emails with a URL, and that URL is the link to your webpage. You keep your emails short, one paragraph max, three sentences, whatever. You send them out to the coaches. You got your URL. They've got all the information in front of them. You've got a chance that they're going to look at it.
And let's go back to objectivity versus subjectivity, mm-hmm. right? You get a parent that reaches out to you. Maybe you're coaching at a prep school. Yeah, my son's great. Every kid's going to say that.
Absolutely.
Okay. So now let's go back to the subjectivity. I send you a link. This is tangible. These are his stats. These are his references. Call those references. Here's his video. This is how good he is.
Yes.
Right. So in terms of self-promotion, that's what you got to do. You have to make it more subjective rather than objective.
Because think about it this way, right? When I send out an email with a goalie's URL, okay, and I say, hey, Mercier with the Railers, I've got this goalie that I think would be a good fit. And I send you an email and it's got the URL to it, and you go click on it and you like what you see. Guess what? You're vested in it. And it's you saying, I like this guy, not Dak saying, Merce, you're going to like this guy. You got to like this guy. I like this guy. No, now it's you saying it, not me.
Yeah. Now I'm calling you back saying, "What? Give me more." And yeah. I'm also calling up the head coach of the Railers saying, I got this kid and yeah. he's a stud.
Yeah. And now it's you, because you, and now it's your opinion, not my opinion.
Exactly.
And I think that's the beauty of it. And yeah, you can go to the app, find out how to build your own website. I think every goalie from the time they hit high school should have their own. Eighth grade, ninth grade, I mean, you should have your own, because you control your brand at that point. And we say it all the time, control the controllables, right? Absolutely. This is a way for you to control how you're represented.
Yeah, exactly. You can control things on the ice. You can control some things off the ice, right? And this is outside that realm of training and getting better, right? This is yourself as a brand, like we've been talking about. So I think that's really big. And then add on top of that, if you want an advisor, we have an advisor on the app. Pat's right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And the amazing thing for me is that, you know, I've been through it with my kids. It's so much more difficult for parents now. There are so many leagues and so many levels between each league, within each league, I should say, within each organization. And you could look at one team and they could have the best 16U team in the country and their 15U team is terrible.
Yep.
And it's like, how do you, it's so hard. And that's why I think that is so effective, is because now you can go, what's the difference between the NA3? What's the difference between the EHL and the NCDC and the USHL and the NHL and the BCHL and the CCJH? There's so much to know. If you're not knee deep in it, I don't know how you're going to know this as a parent. And all we want to do as parents, give our kids good advice.
100%. Are you telling me that you don't know the difference between the gold team and the platinum team and the AAA and the B and the C?
The platinum team's better than the gold team. I know that. In the EHF.
Yeah.
I think the EHF goes EHF Elite, EHF Platinum, and I believe there's like two golds.
Yeah, I've gotten a bunch of different parents asking me about different teams, and I'm
it makes my head spin. Yeah, it's so hard. So I'm glad we had Pat on. I'm glad we had another show.
Yeah, no, me too. That was awesome. It's really good that we're getting a real eclectic view of goaltending through all these episodes. It's been really awesome between Beamer, Bruce, Maria. Now we got Pat. It's been awesome.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, I appreciate your work on this and all the work that you do behind the scenes at Stop It Goaltending You. And for you goalie parents, and especially you goalies out there, remember, you got this.
I hope you enjoyed the Goalie Podcast by Stop It Goaltending You. If you haven't already downloaded the Stop It Goaltending You app, you can get your free 7-day trial at either the App Store or Google Play.